You are listening to the Applied Research Podcast Series, featuring interviews with authors exploring key research topics by VONET, the National Online Resource Center on Violence Against Women, in partnership with the National Sexual Violence Resource Center and the Minnesota Center Against Violence and Abuse.
My name is Allie Parado, and it is October 10, 2012. Today we are speaking with Mitru Charlanti, the advocate consultant on the applied research paper entitled Youth Sexual Violence Prevention. Mitru, thank you so much for joining me today to discuss this exciting new paper. I'd like to start by asking you to share a little bit about what drew you to your work on this topic.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk more about this work. That's great. I've been involved in prevention and education around sexual violence and youth rights since I was a youth myself in college in the 1980s. I really feel like I've grown right along with the development of the field and the movement around prevention education, coming from the days of talking at students with overhead projectors to now, you know, more engaging approaches.
Great. Well, thank you. Can you tell us a little bit about some of your experience working with youth on sexual violence prevention?
And just to build on what I was just saying, I've been there in the classroom and youth development settings, moving from where we used to talk about risk reduction strategies and teaching students how to say no, and you know, that type of approach, to a more socio-ecological approach that we talk about in the paper, where we're really looking at changing, you know, every level of the spectrum of violence prevention, and including the culture where youth spend a lot of their time, schools, youth development settings, and I've worked a lot on supporting local communities to build those youth-adult partnerships for youth engagement. So I've developed and delivered and mentored peer education programs, youth peer advocacy programs, helping youth activists to organize themselves, shape their own agenda. So really, you know, the whole spectrum of different ways of approaching prevention and education. At this point, I'm really fortunate to be able to be a resource at the national level for training and consultation in a variety of youth settings, including also being able to be a part of researching the effectiveness of some of these approaches.
Research is really important. I'm wondering, why do you think it's valuable to engage in prevention work with youth?
Well, first of all, we know that teens are especially vulnerable to victimization of all types, and especially sexual victimization and sexual exploitation and re-victimization. You know, there's an urgent need for more prevention and education around these issues for and with the youth, and it's really important that we engage directly with the youth as allies, as partners in the work, because we've just learned over and over again in different types of prevention work, including sexual violence, that our adult solutions to the issues facing young people will always be incomplete without substantive engagement and participation from the young people themselves. So ideally, you know, we really need to be working in partnership with the youth on development, delivery, and even the assessment and evaluation piece, so that we're really developing true youth leadership around prevention and education.
So the paper discusses some of the challenges and barriers to developing prevention programming for and with youth. I'm wondering if you can share some of your tips for overcoming these challenges.
Yes, and I'm very aware of the challenges from my own experiences in the field, and then also now, you know, providing assistance and advice to local youth and adults who are engaging in prevention. You know, just having the resources is one of the largest barriers. We talk and hear about having enough staffing, having enough funding, having access to the schools. I want to say also, working on this paper with Dr. Cook Craig was just a wonderful experience. And I think the paper gives a bit of a checklist for some elements to look at and ways to overcome some of these barriers. But in addition, not to be a one-note answer here, but I think that when we engage with the youth as partners in the programming, it expands our energy. We have, you know, more staffing, more partners to work with to help overcome some of those barriers. And then you can really see a program advance once the youth leadership piece starts to take off. The students can advocate with their own schools very effectively for access for the programs to be in the school and deliver the programs. Likewise, when the young people advocate for school or program policy changes, it often facilitates things, and those changes can happen more quickly. Another barrier sometimes is how to find the program approach that's right for a given youth population. Having the youth, you know, integrally involved in all of that ensures the program will be developmentally appropriate, team-friendly, positive, engaging. So a lot of those challenges I think we have learned about by trying different things in different sites around the country. And, you know, what ones have learned, others can learn. So my other tip is trying to get to either online resources or conferences, places where prevention educators can talk with each other and share these tips. It's really valuable.
Well, speaking of that, I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about what are some of the promising programs aimed at youth sexual violence prevention right now?
One of the things we've talked about in the paper is we don't always have the level of evaluation we want or the school boards and funders would want on some of these programs. And so the list sometimes appears to be really short. And I just encourage people to keep digging deeper and read more, because there are some promising programs that we can talk about. One of them I'd like people to look into is Expect Respect's Safe Teens program by Safe Place in Austin, Texas. This is a program that uses a youth engagement approach as one part of it. They actually address a lot of different pieces of the social ecology that we talk about in the paper, and it's been proven to be effective with mixed genders and racially diverse middle and high school teens, and it also has a culture change component that we think is so important. So that can be, you know, that can be found on the internet to see how that one works and if that could be implemented in different settings, people that are interested in a school-based program. Another one, a little different approach that I encourage people to look at also is thatsnotcool.com. That's the online campaign by Futures Without Violence, the Department of Justice Office on Violence Against Women, and the Advertising Council. And this is very teen-friendly, and it was developed for younger teens, but I find that older teens, college students, and even adults get into the site, and it's so interactive and engaging that it's been effective for me in recommending it for different age ranges. What thatsnotcool.com, what it gets into is engaging youth and looking at what's okay and what's not okay when it comes to the digital harassment, social media, cell phones, texting. There are opportunities online for youth to be the decision makers in different scenarios. So that would lend itself to, you know, learning and actually practicing some skills in decision making. It's inclusive of same-sex relationship examples, and it has an online peer-to-peer communication function. And there are really so many features, and they're adding fresh content all the time. So that's, you know, not a classroom presentation, but it's a very effective sexual violence prevention tool. Just if there's time, I could mention one more that is noted in the paper also. Mentors in Violence Prevention from Northeastern University Center for the Study of Sport and Society. That's out of Boston, Massachusetts. And this one can be delivered as a one-time workshop or multiple sessions. There are other supplemental tools like the Tough Guys video and things that could be used to expand the program. But it's been effectively implemented with a range of students, high school through middle school. It's been effective with racially diverse students. It's highly engaging. You know, the ones that really engage the youth, and the youth are trained and supported to be leaders, I think have more potential for creating that more wide-scale culture change that we're looking for too. So I think that's another promising program that's really worth looking into.
Those all sound like really interesting programs. Thank you for recommending them. To wrap up, I'm hoping that you can share a little bit about what advocates and preventionists can take away from these programs.
Well, I think what advocates in the field can take away from these examples of promising programs, as well as this, just this whole approach that I'm talking about around prevention education, is that, you know, again, as is underscored in the paper, we're really looking at integrating approaches that complement each other across these different spectrums of prevention, or as we call it in the paper, across the social ecology that affect youth and youth's lives. And we also, you know, want to keep moving forward with the bystander engagement, youth engagement, so that we can make real and lasting changes rather than giving people, you know, a list of rules to follow or red flags, guidelines. Those may be a component of sexual violence prevention that's helpful, but we're really looking at changing people's behavior and changing the culture as much as just changing what they know and understand about sexual violence. And I think that the programs that we're discussing really are effective at doing that.
And this long-term cultural shifts, they could seem overwhelming, but it's so useful to focus energy on that. So I really appreciate that you brought that up. I want to thank you, Mitru, so much for taking the time to discuss your thoughts on this paper and on the programs that it discusses and recommends. Youth Sexual Violence Prevention was published in September of 2012, and it is available for download on VonEd.
Applied research papers and podcasts in this audio series can be found at www.vawnet.org. VonEd is a project of the National Resource Center on Domestic Violence, supported by a cooperative agreement with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Music by Beulah.